Hundreds of families left homeless by the volcano and not by choice. How do we help them cope with the loss and the short-term and long-term stresses? Joining us in studio live is Troy Freitas, who is the state's behavioral health disaster coordinator. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I wasn't aware that we had someone that coordinated programs in the event of a disaster.
Yes, my role is primarily to be a vehicle to communicate between the Substance Abuse Mental Health Service Administration and the State of Hawaii Department of Health Adult Mental Health Division in responding to disasters that are specific to people's ability to cope with the disasters effectively.
And so tell us, you know, we've seen some cases of stresses on the Big Island. I think we had a suicide. We had the really startling video of the shooting between neighbors. What's being done to help people in this time of need?
There are mental health workers that are in the shelters on the Big Island, giving information out to the public as they would like information available to them. There are mental health workers who are continuously updating the information that they find that the public needs based on the questions that they're asking at these shelters, as well as the administration in the Big Island or on the Big Island, as well as in the Adult Mental Health Division, the Department of Health. We want to try to keep the information as relevant and meaningful as possible as people make their needs, as they express their needs.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked to a photographer who goes up in the air every day to see, you know, where the lava flow is headed. And he says as part of his therapy, he actually posts some of the video on Facebook just so his neighbors can see, you know, is my house still standing? Has it been consumed by lava? Because, you know, folks really want to know because they've got this connection. It's their home. And then to have that loss, it's pretty traumatic.
Yes, and very normal. And just wanted to note, when you use the word traumatic, that's very different to be traumatized than to feel very stressed and uncomfortable and afraid. So what we're trying to do is direct people to resources, mental health resources, that's going to provide them what support they need for the kinds of symptoms that they have, including trauma if needed.
Right. I mean, because what they're experiencing is really a loss. You know, they've got to grieve. I mean, it takes a while to kind of get your head wrapped around the idea that you don't have a home to go back to.
Right. And that grieving process, and maybe even the word despair, is very, very normal. So being present for people when they're ready to express those feelings is a lot of what we do and what we're going to continue doing as people reach out and actually express those feelings, because it is also very normal when working on adrenaline as your way to kind of keep moving forward, to not express those feelings until you feel that your basic needs are met, that you have a place to stay, that you're going to have some food to eat for yourself, your loved ones. And so when they're ready to say how they're feeling about it and what help they're willing to accept, we want to offer them every and anything that we can in referral or direct services as needed.
Right. And I know, well, there was that term, misery loves company. But, you know, when you see other people going through the same thing and you can, you know, give them a hug or a pat on the back, or, you know, the volunteers that are out there manning the shelters and you know, I think they're all concerned because this is our community and we're just watching over this drawn out period, this tremendous hurt that's happening.
Yes. And as you had mentioned, the people that are trying to help those who are going through this maybe more direct effect of the volcanic eruptions, they're needing help too. And they are being reminded about their resilience, although that resilience does need a break sometimes. And so caring for the caregiver is also part of the equation. So for the people and for the caregivers being affected by this, or the helpers, the people in the helping profession, it's an opportunity to remind one another about the resilience that we all have in us, but that sometimes having somebody be by your side and just listen to the narrative that you're going through, the story that you're willing to share with someone, helps a human service provider or any kind of provider remind you of the feelings being normal, remind you of your social supports, whether they're through your faith or from your family, that is available to you and wants to kind of be with you through this and work through this together in redefining your hopes and dreams. Because a lot of people's hopes and dreams are attached to their house.
Right. And I know we've got, you know, a situation where things are moving very fast. It's very dynamic. And so maybe, I don't know, what's the best advice? Just take a break, you know, maybe get out of the environment that you're in if you can for a little bit, just to kind of refresh and get your mind clear.
Yes. And I'll give an example. Sometimes for people who aren't going through a very stressful event like what's going on through the Big Island, but are stressed from their everyday experiences, sometimes they don't remember to take a deep breath until somebody actually prompts them. So whether it be taking a deep breath or just taking some kind of a short break and being away from a lot of stimuli, whether it be a smartphone or anything else, is really important to be reminded of. And also just for those who are, you know, that group of folks I'm saying running on adrenaline, especially being aware of your caffeine and alcohol intake, because that's a very common symptom of excessive stress and could lead to further complications later.
And then what about the physical part of it? Because a lot of folks you know, are seeing the VOG and may have respiratory issues, and you know, you, if you're nearby, you can probably smell the gas. But this is now over a month, and what's the effect of that on a person's psyche?
Well, being a non-medical person, I'm going to give you the typical symptoms of excessive stress. And they can be from seeing or smelling, seeing the lava, smelling the fumes, seeing the ash, headaches, gastrointestinal problems, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, anger, irritability, cynicism, or being negative. These are all normal symptoms of excessive stress. Sleep and or appetite disturbance, sadness and depression, feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, worthlessness. So those are the kinds of symptoms that are common. Beyond that, somebody would need to see their medical professional.
Right. But then going back to that same advice then is, if you can, get away from it.
Right. I don't know enough about where is safer to be away from it, where is not. And so I would like to defer that to somebody who can better characterize where it might be safer for people in trying to feel some sense of, I guess, relief from those physical consequences of the eruption, right? Because you may move far away, say to another part of the Big Island, but you may experience or feel an earthquake. And that earthquake may trigger you to have a very physical and mental health reaction, yeah, to that event that might be hard to get very far away from, yeah.
So I didn't even think about that, the aftershocks and that physical part of the stress on you.
Yep.
Anything else that you think would be important to stress right now for people going through this? Got a little bit of time.
Yes. I'd like to just reinforce the importance of being self-aware of your ability to cope with stress and being okay with admitting that you are not Superman or Wonder Woman and that you could use some help. And that help can be as simple as recognizing who is the person that makes you feel heard. And whoever that person may be, brother, sister, auntie, uncle, coach, kupuna, and just talk to someone, not a therapist per se, but if a therapist, that's fine. And just recognize that those feelings of being afraid and vulnerable and feeling so secure with your world, with your life, with your future, with your dreams, is very, very common.
Okay, so we understand the need, and all you need to do is reach out.
Yes.
Thanks so much for spending time with us. We have been talking with Troy Freitas, the state's Behavioral Health Disaster Coordinator, about addressing the mental health needs of our neighbors displaced by this latest eruptive phase of Kilauea Volcano.